everyone. Thank you so much for coming. My name is Alicia Ridenour, and I will be presenting along with my teammates Emily Lopez, Tali Schiller, Brianna Sullivan, and Tess Tedes on challenges in homeless health care, improving reproductive health services for homeless women. Note, we have no financial relationships to disclose. Most of us are not.
Okay, just wondering.
So just to give you a sense of how our presentation today will go, we're going to begin with contextual information on homelessness in Boston and the challenges that homeless women face in accessing reproductive health care. We will then review the methods we employed in this project, discuss the deliverables that came out of our work, and share our analysis of lessons learned for future practice. So beginning with background. In our graduate program in public health at Boston University, we participated in a maternal and child health course entitled Implementing Community Health Initiatives, a practice-based course in leadership and consultation. Student teams in this course serve as consultants for a community health center or organization, and over the course of the semester, are tasked with developing and implementing a community-based health initiative in partnership with their organization. Our team served as consultants for the Boston Healthcare for the Homeless program, which we'll be referring to as BHCHP, whose mission is to provide or assure access to the highest quality healthcare for all homeless men, women, and children in the greater Boston area. Specifically, we worked with BHCHP's family team, which dedicates all its care towards serving homeless families. The team serves as the medical presence in more than 30 shelters, motels, and daycare centers in the Boston area, including such outlying areas as Waltham, Marshfield, and Lexington. Each year, the family team cares for approximately 1,500 families, and in FY13, the team provided approximately 7,700 individual encounters to homeless parents and their children. BHCHP's family team caseload has increased in recent years as family homelessness is on the rise, making up about one-third of the total homeless population. Unfortunately, more and more families are experiencing homelessness, and families are staying homeless for longer and longer. According to the family team, families used to be homeless for approximately 3 to 6 months and are now often homeless for a year or longer, which is a long time to be disconnected from a medical home. Both parents and children in homeless families are at risk of adverse emotional and physical health outcomes. Our project addressed homeless women's reproductive health in particular, and reproductive health outcomes are clearly of concern for this population. In the United States, 1 in 20 women of reproductive age are pregnant. That number is doubled for homeless women. So approximately 1 in 10 homeless women of reproductive age are pregnant. Nearly 3 out of every 4 pregnancies amongst homeless women are unintended. And when surveyed, nearly 3 out of every 4 BHCHP patients acknowledged that homelessness, indeed their healthography, affects their family planning.
Early medical attention to reproductive health issues can create avoidable yet dangerous complications such as pelvic inflammatory disease. And compared to the general population, homeless women experience various health inequalities such as poorer birth outcomes. And finally, reproductive health care is crucial to empowering women to make informed decisions for themselves and their families. Although homeless women clearly need reproductive health care, providing health care for homeless families is a difficult task for service providers. For one, homeless parents prioritize the health care needs of their children over their own. Members of the homeless population often have complex medical needs that go unattended for a variety of barriers such as access to medical care, affordability of services, transportation limitation, child care needs, and many more. In addressing reproductive health needs in particular, homeless women are additionally burdened by experiences of trauma and abuse, myths regarding contraceptive care, and a host of pressing concerns that eclipse the importance of reproductive health. These women often express level of ambiguity regarding their reproductive health, making it for providers hard to provide services. The stories we heard about women in the family team serves reinforce these challenges discussed above. One story that stuck with us was about a homeless mother attempting to receive prenatal care. Upon becoming homeless, this woman was placed in a motel in an outlying neighborhood of Boston, disconnected from her home and her community. With her child in tow, she took two buses and the train to make it to her prenatal appointment in Boston. After waiting at the clinic for over 2 hours, she realized she needed to leave in order to catch the last bus back to her motel. The whole process took over 7 hours, and she was never seen by her prenatal provider.
We were delivered a challenge by the family team to enhance BHCHP's efforts in improving homeless women's reproductive health in the greater Boston area. Now let's go through the methods we used to tackle this challenge. Before we could develop a tool for reproductive life planning, we needed to have a better understanding of the needs of homeless women in Boston and how the family team could better assist them. To begin our needs assessment, we conducted an environmental scan, which included gathering key demographic, political, and historical data that sets the background for the barriers homeless women face in obtaining reproductive health care. Next, we searched the literature for existing tools or best practices to address reproductive health needs among homeless women. Specifically, we looked for reproductive health planning tools, trauma-informed reproductive health care practices, smartphone applications, support group care models, and motivational interviewing techniques. We also conducted stakeholder interviews, including the family team and affiliated clinicians, to obtain varying perspectives on the reproductive health needs of homeless women and to seek their suggestions to address these needs. Furthermore, we shadowed the family team at some of their regular sites where they provide care, including motels and shelters. During these shadowing experiences, we held informal conversations with homeless women regarding barriers and facilitators to obtaining reproductive health care and sought their ideas on how to better assist them. We heard how the clinic located within the shelter helped women take control of their reproductive health by offering them family planning counseling and contraceptive options. We also heard how the clinic has been extremely beneficial in providing general health care for the women and their children that otherwise would be nearly impossible to obtain without insurance. The needs assessment allowed us to see where the gaps exist in providing reproductive health care to these homeless women in a manner that is accessible, understandable, and beneficial to them. We developed the following project goals to address these gaps in care. Number one, enable consistency between providers. Number two, address patient ambivalence, lack of knowledge, and misinformation. Number three, foster patient empowerment. And number four, enhance reproductive health communication between patients and providers. Now we will go through the primary deliverables we developed to achieve these goals. We provided multiple deliverables to the family team as the result of our work. We will delve into the primary three, which were a decision-making family planning flip chart to be used between the patient and provider, a comprehensive list of family planning resources for providers, and a postcard for the patients in Spanish and English with a list of smartphone apps that provide sexual and reproductive health information.
Using all the knowledge we gathered about our target population and the needs of BHCHP, our key deliverable emerged, a family planning decision-making flip chart. designed by the World Health Organization and tailored to BHCHP's use. The flip chart covers all available contraceptive methods. Each section contains an overview of the method, who can and cannot use it, possible side effects, how to begin and use the method, and any other important information for the patient to know. The flip chart encompassed everything the family team was looking for and fulfills our goals for the project. It's a clinical reproductive life planning tool that empowers homeless women to become actively engaged in their reproductive health. It identifies individual reproductive health goals and creates an action plan for completing those goals. And it educates patients about contraception and choosing the best method for themselves. The tool is designed to be put in a binder and flipped through with the patient during their visit. One side of the flip chart is designed for patients. On this side, patients are given important information about the topic at hand in simple language and images meant to engage them in a dialogue. Some of the sections of the tool we left as is, and others we tailored to better fit the needs of BHCHP. So this page you see here has not been modified from the original tool. The other side of the flip chart, on the other side of the page, is designed for the provider's use. It presents the same information the patient sees, as you can see in the top left-hand corner, and adds other information that might be useful for the provider to use. This could be stuff like prompts to use in conversation, myths you might want to address, medical indicators, and much more. Here is another example of the tool as we have modified it for BHCHP's use. As you can see in the corner, we added a little logo for all the pages that we modified. One of the birth control methods missing from the original flip chart was the vaginal ring, so we added it in. Each page that we've modified has the BHCP logo in the corner. Again, this page is what the patient would see, and then this page is what the provider would see. There are also appendices at the back. We added several appendix pages for BHCHP's use on such topics as motivational interviewing, as you can see here, trauma-informed care, reproductive life planning, and several other topics that we thought would be useful for them. So moving on to our second deliverable was a list of reproductive health resources that BHCHP's family team could use. These are things out in the literature that they may not have realized were available that could be useful for their practice, such as trainings, tools, etc., a wide variety of things. And then finally, our third deliverable that we're sharing with you emerged from our needs assessment that the majority of the target population actually have smartphones and use apps, which was a little surprising to us. We identified some apps that providers could recommend to their patients on reproductive health topics and made postcards in English and Spanish so the providers could give to patients with three of the most useful apps so patients could download them after the appointment. So here's the front of the Spanish postcard with the three apps, and here's the back of the English one.
So, what does this all mean for other programs looking to better address the specific needs and challenges of reproductive health care in a housing unstable population? Based on this project and how it has been implemented at BHCHP, we would like to share some of our lessons learned with you. First, we really did witness a dearth in services, literature, and best practices specifically for this combination of topic and population. There just really wasn't much extant information out there that has been validated for reproductive health in helping the homeless population. Despite this lack of resources, we did find a number of other useful resources, but actually from the global health section of literature. This is due to similarities that homeless women in the U.S. can have with women in other low-resource settings in terms of challenges and barriers to accessing health care, such as cost, transportation, and many other competing priorities. Global Health is where we found the flip chart where we use as our primary deliverable. Tapping into the realm of global health research is a way to explore additional possible resources and tools that could work well for the target population without having to start from scratch.
Next, regardless of whether you look to global health sector or another area to identify helpful resources and tools, it really is important that you tailor your resources, both to the specific patients and providers of your project setting. I think we hear about tailoring a lot in public health, and we know that it's very important, but often when push comes to shove, we run out of time, we run out of, you know, sort of extra resources to do that, and so tools just sort of get thrown out into the field as is. And so, like Tali was mentioning, with adding in the section about the vaginal ring or adding in additional appendices for BHCHP about motivational interviewing, we thought that that was a really important way to make it more usable for both provider and patient. Additionally, as we followed up on the progress of our project, we learned that facilitation for this type of partnership is crucial not only for the planning stage, but also for implementation. Due to the relatively short length of time, this was a semester-long class, and so we only had a little over 3 months to do this whole process. There wasn't time for us to assist in the implementation stage. And so despite us including implementation and sustainability recommendations in our final report, not all of the deliverables are being utilized. We feel that had we had additional time, we would have been able to help implement more of these practices, work with them to make sure that they were useful to both patients and providers rather than just sort of handing it off and hoping that it would work well. And another very important takeaway that we really wanted to emphasize is that student practice partnerships can be very beneficial and rewarding for both parties. Even though we weren't able to facilitate implementation, we feel that even short-term student-led initiatives can really help propel a project forward, especially for projects in which time or staffing is limited, or as in this case, maybe when a new avenue of emphasis is being explored. Lastly, and I think I speak for everyone on our team, I think that this really was the most impactful classroom experience of our graduate school career at our MPH program, and it really was wonderful to be given the chance to act as truly independent consultants on a real-world public health project while simultaneously learning leadership skills and strategies for enhanced community partnerships in the classroom. We would like to close by thanking all of our collaborators, Dr. Lois McCloskey, who's with us here today, and Dr. Joan Greger in particular as our professors for this course, our partners at BHCHP, and all of the homeless women that we spoke with that made this project possible. And we would also like to thank APHA for selecting our work for an oral presentation. We think that this type of specialized focus on the unique barriers to accessing reproductive health care that homeless women face is an excellent example of how important the healthography theme of this year's APHA conference is, and is indeed a reminder of just how much health challenges truly are dictated by place, or in this case, maybe the lack of a place. Thank you.
Okay, so we're